Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Amen. In the scriptures that we have heard this morning, appointed for this day, we begin with the story of Moses ascending Mount Sinai and leaving the people of God for a few weeks, even under the administration of Aaron, who should have known better. But before long, they had decided, in a very King James way, "We wot not what has come of this guy, Moses, that, oh, by the way, led us out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God through the Red Sea." They had forgotten already. We find that the portion of the story that is left out of the children's books is included in this text, which is that Moses was so angry, he took the golden calf, ground it into powder, mixed it with water, and made them drink it. So that if you know your biology well enough, the golden calf could be found elsewhere after a few hours. And you can go and worship him in the latrine if you like, because that's where he belongs. This is Moses' position. Centuries and centuries later, after the life, ministry, resurrection, ascension of Christ, St. Paul is writing to the Ephesians and urging them to walk circumspectly. In other words, look around you. Pay attention to what's going on. The same thing that the Hebrews in the desert should have been doing. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. St. Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians, is encouraging the church in the first several chapters, explaining to them what the church is, and in the last two chapters saying, so what? So, walk circumspectly, pay attention, the day is nigh. But when we turn to the gospel for today and we hear the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives a parable of a wedding feast that is being held by a king. The wedding is that of his son, and he is inviting a number of people to attend this banquet. This is not the only time in the Gospels when this parable is presented. It's presented also in the Gospel according to St. Luke. But in the Gospel according to St. Luke, we can say it's a little nicer. In this version of the parable, the king is wroth, so wroth that he sent his army out to those who would not receive the invitation and burned their cities down. Now that's a little different than just inviting someone else. Now why would we find the parable appearing in two different forms? Well, Jesus was a traveling preacher and probably preached this parable a number of times, changing it perhaps slightly for context, depending on who he was speaking to. Apparently, who he was speaking to in St. Matthew's recording, these people needed a sharper word for their own warning and correction. But as we see this, we find that the original invitation was so easy. All you have to do is come to the wedding. You've been invited by a king to a glorious feast. But they made light of it. They set it aside. They found many other things to be doing. And it was not only this, but the spitefulness with which the messengers were treated that made the king wroth. Of course, this is a parable, and so we may insert as an allegory the true meaning behind these positions. The king, of course, is the Lord. Those who were invited first are the Jews. Those who are sent to them as messengers are the prophets. And those who are found in the highways and the hedges are the Gentiles. Well, that's you and that's me. Hallelujah, we got an invitation too. Now, there was a chance we were going to get an invitation anyway, even without a city being burned down or an invitation being rejected. But when we see this story, there is a portion of the passage in Matthew that is added to the end that always gives a shocking conclusion to this parable, and one that is perhaps perplexing. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, you remember Jesus giving a parable about a banquet scene that begins with the word friend. That one in the other parable is one who took the lowest seat. And from the lowest seat, the master of the banquet comes and says, friend, come up higher. In this parable, the Lord asks, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And that man was speechless. And then he said to the king's servants, not have this man removed, not place him out on the sidewalk where he can shake his fist and say, you people, you're all the same. Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Now this is a parable. And perhaps in the 21st century, 20th centuries removed, we may not be as familiar as we ought to be with the Jewish wedding and the wedding garment practice. Now, the wedding garment is a white vestment that was given to those who attended the wedding upon their arrival. So when you arrive at a wedding that you're invited to, they give you the wedding garment and you place it on. And just like a family photo where everyone's wearing the same thing, the wedding is filled with guests that are just nothing short of the scene in Revelation, where all those are in robes of glistering white in that heavenly realm. Here, at this wedding supper, this marriage, those who are invited are meant to wear the wedding garment. Why in the world would this one not be wearing a wedding garment? Why would he be in? There's probably only two possible explanations. One is he climbed into the wedding another way. And Jesus has a word about that. He says, I am the door. I am the way. And anyone who comes in some other way is a thief or a robber. The other possibility is that this man came in, received the wedding garment, and threw it aside, not being willing or not even being humble enough to acquiesce to the tradition of the wedding. Whichever way this is, this man took his invitation and even accepting his invitation just as lightly as those others. And his city was not burned to the ground, but he was cast out. We find then that there is a straight and narrow path described in this parable. That there's really only one proper way to receive this invitation, which is to accept it upon its hearing in your ears, to accept, to attend, to wear the garment, the white, and shall we say, the picture of atonement that is given to you, and to not cast it aside or take it lightly. In fact, there are not really much in the way of choices for you. You have all freedom in the world, but there's really only one way. St. Paul, if you recall, tells us in his epistle to the Corinthians that when you approach Holy Communion, you are not to eat and drink unworthily, lest you eat and drink to your own condemnation. And for many generations, and even today, there are those who say, oh, well, I understand. There's no way for me to truly be sure of my worthiness, and so I won't receive at all. Except that our Lord in John chapter 6 says, if you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And so we learn from the Lord that you must receive. We learn from St. Paul that you must not receive unworthily. There's only one way to receive worthily. You've got all the freedom in the world to receive the invitation or cast it aside, but there's actually only one good choice. We see that pattern given to us throughout the scriptures. You have been given freedom to receive your invitation, to cast your invitation aside. You've been given the freedom to receive it and to make yourself a worthy recipient, to present yourself ready to receive a white and glistering garment of atonement, or to cast it aside and take it lightly. But if you want to choose rightly, then you will choose to obey both the Lord and his apostles. A person might say, that's not fair. There's only one option. Don't you see? I don't have freedom if there's only one option. And the answer is correct. You have a choice, and the choice is life or death. And the question may be answered in a number of ways, but you'd say, well, that's easy. Everyone would then choose life. Not so. I can tell you that this week, I chose death a couple of times and had to repent of it. And perhaps you have chosen to avoid your invitation and to take it lightly and set it aside as well. This is a place where Moses is returning to the Lord, entreating for atonement on behalf of his people. But it is not Moses, it is Christ himself. This is the place where the invitation is being reissued to you. The wedding garment is being offered to you to receive it. I entreat you, along with, I believe, I can say Moses and the apostles, the prophets, and Christ himself, to take his invitation reverently, discreetly, seriously, and with fervent worship, praise, Eucharist, and thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.